we finally have new numbers on economic growth for 2018. They've just been released. There will be full updated averages and numbers on March 28th. And it's no secret that President Trump likes to make claims about how much the U.S. economy is growing and his role in it. What do the numbers say? Are the president's claims true? We're going to talk about it in podcast 811, the Bob Davis Podcasts. Well, if you're like me, you love coffee. In fact, I have some coffee right here. I love it. But what if your coffee causes health problems for you? Guess what? There is a breakthrough coffee that tastes great and makes people feel fantastic. It's called Organo. Now, there are lots of Organo products. I got together recently with my friend Lois Kofi and some Organo lovers, and I'm going to be sharing some of their stories going forward at the BobDavisPodcast.com. Listen up. Lois Kofi is going to tell you how to get Organo so you can change your life by simply changing your coffee.
I had coached thousands and thousands of people, and they didn't want to drink more water. They didn't want to take another pill. They didn't want another lotion, potion, whatever, because either A, they were too expensive, they didn't taste good, it wasn't already a habit. This coffee is highly anti-inflammatory. It hydrates you instead of dehydrates you. It helps you sleep deeper and better, which is going to help you lose weight.
I was a hyperactive kid.
Yep.
Do you think it's this pH balance issue?
It's absolutely nutrition. What's the nutrition our kids are getting? Pizza, bread, carbs, sugar.
It helps you sleep better, poop better, move better. It heals.
One cup a day, 30 days later, I was pooping better, sleeping better, feeling better, moving better. My depression was gone. My irritability was gone. So if you want to experience the amazing health through your daily coffee habit, please contact me. I'll give you 25% off your first order. Give me a call at 612-708-5480 or go to my website landing page, www.globalcoffeeteam.com, and submit your contact information, and I'll follow up with you and provide you with some excellent service.
Organo also has great opportunities for you to change your life by helping to grow Organo, to try Organo, or help expand Organo's reach with new accounts. If you're interested, contact Lois Kofi at globalcoffeeteam.com. Change your coffee, change your life. 612-708-5480. That's 612-708-5480. Or click on the coffee banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. Listen up, later in the podcast, I'm going to tell you about Ryan Plumbing and Heating. Guess what? I hate to say it, but in the present time frame, we're back below zero, and we are now on this roller coaster of warmer than zero, up to 30 or 20, back down to negative 7, negative 5, negative 10, negative 20, even though it's March, and that means problems with plumbing and heating. If you need help, that means Ryan Plumbing and Heating, quality service, 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. More about Ryan later in the podcast. So this is not an easy subject because for those who do not like President Trump, it doesn't matter what he does. He's an idiot. He's a horrible person. And any other horrible superlative you can come up with negatively to describe the person sitting in the White House at the current time. If you are a Trumper, it's like a cult. It doesn't matter what he does. He is some kind of genius, and there's always a silver lining no matter how bad things are. And then I have been able to discern pretty much three kinds of commentators these days. These are Trump boosters, where, again, everything he does is great. There's always a silver lining. Trump haters, who could never find a silver lining no matter what and will never ascribe any positive thing to the president. And then there's a new category of Republicans who hate Trump, and they are more venomous than actual Trump haters, and they get a lot of mileage because there's nothing better than a Republican who hates Republicans for the media. So that's what you're dealing with when you're dealing with commentary. There's not much room for objectivity, which is why this is not an easy thing to talk about because everyone's going to be upset. Just very quickly, had dinner with friends the other night, and I hang out with people from all different political persuasions. One of my friends hates Trump, and I tend to discuss politics from about 36,000 feet. You know, what happened here? What happened there? What's the effect of this? And I'm looking at politics politics in terms of why did the president say that? What is he trying to do? And is it effective? I don't look at it from a perspective of he's a bad person. I hate him. Therefore, everything he does is wrong, or he is, picked by God to be president and everything he does is right. So people, when you encounter somebody who is a Trump hater and you try to balance out the discussion, they absolutely go crazy. Lots of profanity and finger pointing and things of that nature. So there isn't room for objectivity in discussing politics. And yet we have to be objective about our economic policy and whether or not it is working, especially Republicans. Now, it doesn't matter what you do in these situations. If you try to explain the other side, so if you're talking to Republicans and you try to explain why the Democrats are doing something like, let's say, have a huge field of potential presidential candidates in 2020, you get a flurry of swear words and anger, and we don't end up with any kind of objective discussion. Again, there is an objective reality. Of course, not if you believe in conspiracy theories, but that's another podcast and that's another conversation entirely. But when it comes to the economy, we deal with bond and stock prices. We deal with data collected from various sectors of our economy. We deal with real numbers on debt and deficits, usually to the penny. We deal with real numbers on so-called trade surpluses and deficits, subsidies, spending allocated by law, state budgets, things of that nature. These numbers are the numbers we use to analyze how the United States economic policy, whether Democrat or Republican, is working. Now, usually what passes for economic analysis in the media is done by political analysts. What they do is pull together data from different sources on average income, average wages, the number of people employed, so-called income inequality, how various sectors of the economy report they're doing, and so on. Somebody from the administration's economic office will pull some data and say, this is really good data, and then numbers of people will write about it. Sometimes you'll see people write articles that say that the president has done an amazing job with the economy, and they'll cherry pick numbers that have come out over the months and years regarding, like I said, average wages, income, the number of people employed, income inequality, usually with an eye toward saying this is the best number since, and then you insert a year, 1967, 1981, whatever. I don't bother with any of that. In fact, I don't talk about economic performance except when, I'm not doing a podcast with people. And what I usually say is, you know what? Let's wait and see what the GDP numbers say, and then we'll have some numbers that we can work from. The GDP, gross domestic product, is the objective number that we use. There are other measurements of U.S. economic growth that can be used, but this is the one that everyone uses, so this is the one we will use. Actually, GDP is probably the best one for the United States if you talk about personal buying power, relative buying power to other economies and so forth. We don't do as well. So GDP is the number people in the United States talk about, and it's the number that's probably the best for whoever is president at any given time. But I consider those things cherry-picking data as well, where you can pull out the PPP to make a point. You can compare average incomes, per capita incomes, things of that nature. You can play games with statistics. We'll use the GDP numbers. An example is I can make the case that U.S. retail numbers are down, and I can make the case that they're up because there is a case for both. Truth is, they are somewhere in between. Retail sales decreased more than a point in the final quarter despite holiday sales. Department store sales were down 3.7%, but online retail sales were up. The reason it becomes an issue is a lot of economists and a lot of financial writers will try to use those numbers to predict, GDP numbers as we get down closer and closer to the Bureau of Economic Research releasing this information. So I might mention those things in passing, but generally I also avoid doing a podcast about retail sales as though it means anything, because the big number is the GDP number. It comes out at the end of the year, at the beginning of the next year, and that's what we have to deal with. So I might, again, mention those things in passing, but generally I avoid them. You also hear a lot of talk about what the president has, quote, done to, quote, fix the economy, usually from his supporters. This usually takes the form of somebody saying, well, we're doing really good in our business this year, which is supposed to make you shut up. But the thing is, just because your business sector is doing well this year, it's anecdotal data, you are one small sliver of a $22 trillion economy that doesn't appear to be fixed or growing fantastically. Doesn't mean it isn't growing, but when you say our manufacturing business is doing well, so therefore the whole economy is doing well, therefore Trump succeeded, well, there might be another explanation. But see, again, if people are in the cult, they don't want to hear that things are either growing positively or they don't want to hear that they're dealing with an anomaly in their anecdotal walk of life. So in all fairness to the president, here's what he has quote-unquote done. And I thought this is a good place to start this discussion of statistics of the economy for 2018 and in passing 2017. Because people seem to think that President Trump has done a lot for the economy. And I think it's really important to point out that there have been two signal legislative achievements by this president. First, Congress passed an update of the post-2008 Dodd-Frank bill, which, among other things, removed the mark-to-market quarterly requirement. Mark-to-market was a controversial system of valuing companies to the most recent data and was seen as one of the problems in the 2008 crisis because assets could not be valued efficiently. So getting rid of mark-to-market probably helped the stock markets and investors and companies as well. Second, Congress passed what is known as a tax cut, which, by the way, needs to be clarified. Congress passed an addendum to, I believe it is the 1987 Tax Reform Act, could have been 1988, I don't remember. It is generally agreed that the new tax bill granted most income tax brackets tax cuts, but it also changed what people could deduct from their taxes and the way taxes are withheld. So we are now seeing significant stories about how people are actually not getting as much back from the withholding that they thought they were going to get in 2018, even though their tax rates may have been slightly reduced. Most significantly, and this is really important, is the substantially reduced corporate taxes as well as a so-called pass-through, which allows business owners to deduct more from their personal income derived from their business. So it's a 20% pass-through as opposed to a 35% pass-through. Finally, third, third, Congress also ended the Consumer Financial Protection Board's consumer arbitration rule, as well as passing a resolution to get rid of the hated Richard Cordray, who was the CFPB's first commissioner and not a Trump appointee, an Obama appointee. But the arbitration rules prevented companies from including an arbitration rule in their agreements with customers, so you couldn't sue AT&T. You had to go to arbitration. Finally, the president's executive orders on economic and financial issues, up to and including the imposition of tariffs or not, and the easing of enforcement, depending on where we're at with negotiations with certain companies. He has also certain countries. He has also slow walked recommendations for replacements of positions at key regulatory agencies, sometimes not replacing people, as well as the protection of certain American industries vis-a-vis China, Russia, et cetera, including and especially energy production, coal, and agriculture. And depending on what day it is and what he's doing, sometimes those industries can be positively affected or negatively affected. The president failed to achieve a repeal of the Affordable Care Act or get a reform of immigration policy passed, as well as actually repealing the so-called hated mandate. They simply took the mandate to zero, and a Democrat Congress and Senate and president could bring the mandate back to whatever they choose to at a future time. Finally, trade legislation reforms have also not been passed. We do not have new trade bills. In fact, as far as I know, even some of the initiatives by the president on foreign trade have not been endorsed by the U.S. Senate, which has advice and consent on trade issues. The key takeaway here, as President Obama learned, executive orders and emergencies can be terminated by the next president or updated or even rescinded by Congress. Obama's famous "I have a pen and a telephone," meaning that he could run the country through executive order. He learned very quickly with President Trump, who rescinded or issued a new executive order rescinding or obviating a previous president's executive order. Without legislative action such as that in the Dodd-Frank issue or the tax bill, the effects of executive orders are not considered permanent. What is the effect of impermanent types of orders? Businesses, individuals, and investors tend to react to permanent measures over time. So the example of tax rebates, which are temporary and don't produce the same effect that tax cuts passed by Congress do, because they are not considered permanent by investors and businesses and individuals. Now, in the second half of this podcast, we're going to look at the first blush of numbers for the fiscal year 2018. So hold on to your hats. Yes, I mentioned earlier that we are now again below zero in Minneapolis and St. Paul, and that means problems with pipes. It means problems with furnaces. It means problems with water heaters. And if this is you, think about Ryan Plumbing and Heating of St. Paul for home or business, because when it comes to keeping all these systems working right, especially at work, at your business, or at your home, when you have plumbing or heating problems, you need reliable service. That means Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul. You call 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. They go back four generations in Frogtown in St. Paul. Quality, and I can't emphasize that enough, quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems. In this kind of weather, call Ryan. Don't try to fix it yourself, please. Residential and business. Ryan Plumbing at ryanplumbing.com. Once again, you call 651-224-4771 on the St. Paul side of the river in Minneapolis. On the west side, you call 612-927-6488. Metro-wide from St. Paul, Burnsville, you know, Shakopee, Maple Grove, Maplewood, Falcon Heights, Hudson, Plymouth, what else? Golden Valley, Hopkins, Ryan Plumbing and Heating. Click on the banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. Now, the president likes to make various claims that say he is the best president on the economy in quite some time, and that no one has done a better job than he has. Often he'll cherry pick a number that is good, and he'll say it's the best ever. So this is not anything new. Even Trump supporters know that he does this all the time, and sometimes that's quite entertaining. So the baseline here is that in 2017, the U.S. GDP grew by 2.2%. So this is the first year of the president's, being in office, and so we don't want to be hard on a president who just took office. And so in 2017, the economy grew by 2.2%. So how is the U.S. economy doing in 2018? By the main measurement, which of course is GDP, gross domestic product. First quarter of 2018 was 2.2%. Second quarter of 2018 was 4.2%. And this generated a huge number of headlines and response and people talking about it. Third quarter was 3.4%. Little down from the 4.2%. And then in the fourth quarter, we have a disappointing 2.6%. So the average of that roughly is about 2.9%. Now, the Bureau of Economic Research recalculates GDP growth for the year and then revises those numbers two or three times in the next year. So in 2019, by March 28th, we will see an actual average. Most projections are that it will be under 3%. And I hate to say this for Trump supporters, but for the record, President Obama's best year was 2015 at 2.9%, with a quarter of 5.1% growth during 2015, followed by 4.9%. So those are two quarters. They were the biggest quarters for Obama, and so far they are bigger than the biggest two quarters for President Trump. Now, growth is growth in general, and for me to criticize 2.9% growth would be stupid. We will take the growth. But the issue here are claims by the president and his supporters that he has been a miracle worker when it comes to the economy, and he's done an incredible job turning around the economy. The truth is, his numbers are only slightly, if at all, better than Obama's on any number of things. Unemployment's slightly better. You know, again, those cherry-picking numbers, you can say things are better in the coal industry, maybe, I don't know. Or things are better in the energy industry, maybe, I don't know. But when you look at GDPs, Obama had at least two quarters of GDP growth higher than Trump's at 4.2%. Now, the president has two more years to prove to everyone that he is a wizard, and he may do that. So with all fairness, we haven't, you know, got 4 years of Trump or 8 years of Trump. But so far, President Trump's performance is about the same as Obama, and not even as good as the Bush average over 3% during the Bush, George W. Bush presidency. So what's the big deal, Bob Davis? Why are you doing this? My issue is this. First of all, do you think an economy can be fixed with executive orders and rhetoric? Do you think there is a substantive difference between the Republican administration's policies and the Democrat Obama administration's policies? Well, yeah, window dressing on global warming and climate change and foreign trade and things and so forth are bright lines. But in general, borrowing to stimulate the economy, more deficit spending, changes in tax policy for most Americans on the fringes, not including the laudable effort on business taxation, remains and is basically Keynesian. This is after the great economist John Maynard Keynes. To the extent that the government spends or borrows or prints money to stimulate demand and thus stimulate consumer spending. Classic economists do not believe in demand, only supply. That's the first thing. The second thing is, if you think borrowing more and spending more, and even Keynes did not advocate that. He advocated saving money during the sunshine to spend during the rainy day periods to stimulate the economy. So if you think borrowing more and spending more, and you're a Republican, so if you think borrowing more and spending more, I'm going to say that again, is the right thing to do, and you're a Republican, what's the difference between the two parties when it comes to economics? I don't see very much of a difference. Moreover, 3.1% GDP growth or less than 3% GDP growth is just at the inflation rate, somewhere around 2.5%. Is that a booming economy? Well, let's talk about what a booming economy looks like. During the 1950s, the U.S. growth rate was well over 4%, with some quarters at 8% and some years at 8%, especially in the early 1950s. That is dynamic growth. In 1962, U.S. GDP was 6.2% overall, not just one quarter. In 1966 and 1967, it was over 6.5%. In 1984, GDP was 7.2%. With growth averaging nearly 4% during that period of time. By the way, 2018 is officially 2.9%. Again, that needs to be restated. Since the Obama presidency, we have not seen a single year of GDP over 2.9%, as far as I can see. Now, he may have had a year of 3%. I don't know. I'd have to go back through those numbers and I'll post links. But it's been quite a while since we had over 2.9% GDP growth. And most of it's been 2.5%, 2.1%, 2.0%, 2.3%. Now, there are reasons for why this might be. I don't need to go into it in this podcast, but the focus here is this. Trump would have you believe, and he would have his supporters believe, he has fixed the economy and returned it to its dynamic growth years after the Second World War. And it's just not true. The 1950s are not coming back. Moreover, we have been on a downward trend since the beginning of this year, right after changes introduced the passage of the tax bill. And that, unfortunately for the triumphant Trump supporters, appears to be the record so far. So why is this important? Well, I am personally sick and tired of claims from this president that turn out to be a little bit better than out-and-out lies or even pixie dust. And by extension, I'm tired of his cult saying that he's amazing and he's produced amazing results when clearly he has not because he's a businessman and blah, 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 blah. It's important because if Republicans want to stand for something and if they want to have a second term for this president and if they want to stand for something after this man is president, they're going to have to learn economics. economics again. They're going to have an economic plan that one might be able to say is quote unquote conservative, because what we've got right now isn't exactly conservative. It can't also just be whatever Trump says it is, because he's winning and he's got an R in front of his name. And I hate to be harsh, but the truth is we have done very little about the systemic economic problems in this country. And what are they? Well, let's start with federal, state, and local spending, misallocations of resources, basically, things like the national debt, the national deficit, which now is more than the Obama administration, despite the fact that a Republican is in the White House, future plans for retirement that do not include Social Security, not even anywhere near the horizon in terms of being dealt with by Congress, reforming the American health insurance system by repealing the Affordable Care Act and all other health insurance entitlements and ending the current system of sending insurance companies medical bills rather than the insurance companies sending individuals a check, which the individual then uses to pay their medical bills. We are so far from that. We failed to repeal the ACA, and now we're talking about single-payer health, and there is a Republican plan which they claim is not socialist for single-payer health, and it involves four or five big insurance companies being contracted to be the single-payer health insurance source. That is not quote-unquote conservative. It is certainly not classic economics, and it is certainly not capitalism, with all due respect. What about a reform of the American tax code to eliminate the personal income tax and the business tax permanently? What about deregulation of banking and investment, a reduction of the size and power and scope of federal and state governments? And what about making those reforms permanent so that they cannot reverse any of those things or quote unquote roll those things back? What about eliminating unions in government? By the way, the president could do that by simply signing an executive order that reverses John F. Kennedy's executive order based on the Wagner Act establishing collective bargaining in the federal government. Not doing it. What about immigration reform? No discussion of that at the legislative level, which is where it counts, among many, many other initiatives that would have an impact on the economy. The bottom line is we are not doing that. Now, there's two other things that should be mentioned so that people understand what's going on. The president said the other day, which is not, again, this is not something Republicans say. Most Republicans are strong dollar advocates. He says the dollar is too strong. Well, I want to tell you how much the American dollar has lost. So if you want to go back to a strong dollar, you would have to go back to the beginning of the 20th century. Over the last 100 or so years, the dollar has plummeted in value. In 1913, a person with $100 could buy the same amount of food, clothing, and other necessities that $2,529 would buy today. If you want to know what's wrong with the U.S. economy, the other factor is easing by the world's central banks to try and stimulate demand and to try and reflate the banking systems worldwide. Some countries, some of the big central banks have not rolled back their quantitative easing. We have rolled back our quantitative easing after printing literally out of thin air as much as $4 trillion. One of the big things on that list is going back to a metals-based currency or a gold standard, because that would restore the value of the dollar. And that's another podcast as well. We don't hear anyone talking about that, least of all the president. So in short, the president's economic performance is okay. Compared to what he says it is really anything but okay. Well, I can tell you when the weather finally turns warm and the air show is on at Oshkosh, you won't be thinking about this cold weather. You'll be thinking about how amazing it is. And if you're a pilot, you know, if you're flying over to EAA in July, you're going to want to be safe on takeoffs and landings. Alpha Systems makes the revolutionary angle of attack indicator. Let me explain. So the AOA indicator is really, it's a bright arrow, which lets you know how much lift your wing is producing. And that indicator is right on the dashboard in the cockpit of the plane. So when you're maneuvering, you're making the base turn, you're figuring out where the runway is, you don't have to be looking down at the instrument panel. you're looking straight forward to find the runway, but you're also able to see how much lift your wing is producing. And that final turn or any maneuvering at low altitudes is one of the chief causes of accidents in civil aviation. Alpha Systems will be at the air show. Listen for more details. If you want to know more, click on the Alpha Systems banners for more info about Alpha's revolutionary angle of attack indicator at the BobDavisPodcast.com. It's all about safety. All right. I appreciate you guys listening to the Bob Davis Podcast on Stitcher.com, TuneIn, iTunes. I personally think Spotify and Google Play are the best for Android devices. iTunes is the granddaddy if you're using any kind of an iOS device or a Mac desktop or a Mac PowerBook. I do appreciate the likes and favoriting on Facebook and Twitter and other social media, but really it's all about the sharing. So if you share a podcast post, it really helps the Bob Davis Podcast. Now, I am getting ready to go somewhere. I don't want to say yet, but I do really appreciate donations for Mobile Podcast Command at thebobdavispodcast.com. Goes right in the tank for diesel fuel, and I'll tell you more about that going forward. So that's the situation with the economy. And, you know, if you want to be objective, if you really want to contribute to the political process, especially if you're a Republican and you're looking at 2020, it's a good idea to start with a baseline that makes some sense in terms of what has actually been done. Republicans, libertarians, there is an awful lot more work to be done because the alternative is the modern monetary theory, which I have talked about and I'll talk about again. And that means printing more money to do all these wonderful things for people. And if you don't have arguments against that stuff, if your argument against that is Trump, who is basically a Keynesian, well, we're in big trouble. Thanks for listening to Podcast 811, the Bob Davis Podcasts.